Thank you, Mike, for that beautiful solo. Wonderful, merciful Savior. Now for our prayer for illumination. Magnificent God, as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, allow us to see clearly your love and your will for our lives and the world. Amen. Our scripture reading today is John chapter 9, verses 1 through 41. And Pastor and I will be sharing this scripture.
We meet Jesus today in Jerusalem, walking along the road, teaching his disciples, when he encounters a man who was born blind. This story is long, so we only have one scripture reading today, and Linda and I will indeed be sharing it. But as we listen, I want us to listen for two things: who or what is healed, and who or what is not healed. This is John chapter 9, verses 1 through 41. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world."
When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see.
The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is not this the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is him." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am him." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?"
He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know."
They brought the Pharisees to the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see."
Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." Others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He is a prophet."
The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?"
His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that now he sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him."
So for the second time, they called the man who had been born blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?"
They then reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from."
The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and are you trying to teach us?" And they drove him out.
Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him.
Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
What a story. Every time I read it, that first question that the disciples ask just devastates me. They seem to ask it rather flippantly, assuming that this man's life is a punishment for someone's sin. The question is not whether his blindness came from sin. They just assume that. They're asking whose fault it is. They want to assign blame, point out the problem. This is a judgment parading around as a theological question. But Jesus is having none of that. "You're asking the wrong question," he says. "This is not about fault. It's about how we see God at work in the world. And sometimes God works with mud." Somehow, this man's remarkable healing, something that the Pharisees and scribes admit themselves, that is not the centerpiece of this story. There is no rejoicing, there is no celebration, there is no killing the fatted calf or wine flowing in the streets. His parents keep their distance. His neighbors don't even recognize him. And not in the, "Oh my gosh, you look so good," kind of way. In the scenes that follow, there is only one thing that everyone agrees on. Only God can heal this way, instantly, completely, with nothing but dirt and spit. Only God has that power. But here's the problem. Jesus healed him on the Sabbath. And in the minds of these particular religious authorities, doing so broke the fourth commandment. So how could someone who doesn't follow God's commandments be sent by God? There are a lot of cultural details that we could get lost in here about the religious politics and Sabbath keeping and the intricacy of the rules around that. But even though I find all of that super fascinating, I want to focus us on Jesus for a minute. In this whole long story, 42 verses, Jesus only actually speaks twice. Once at the very beginning and once at the very end. Both times he makes some somewhat cryptic statements about light and darkness, seeing and not seeing. He is not equating physical blindness with spiritual foolishness, but he is inviting us to look deeper. The healing that Jesus is hoping for is not just this one man receiving the ability to see for the first time in his life. That's great. But here we see Jesus once again using the physical world to help us understand something about God and our relationship to God and one another. Most of the back and forth in this passage is religious leaders and crowds and the man and his parents and even the disciples trying to figure out who the sinner is. Like this is some kind of escape room or game show. If you figure out who the sinner is and kick them out, do you win a prize? Meanwhile, Jesus just looked at a grown man who had never been able to see in his life, made some mud with his spit, and gave him the ability to see. And instead of being happy about it, these folks are out here pointing fingers and arguing about who's a sinner. Talk about an exercise in missing the point. Like this crowd, we could spend every minute of every day playing the blame game. Whose fault is it that my retirement account shrank? Whose fault is it that gas prices went up? Whose fault is it that the weather is such a roller coaster? Whose fault is it that someone we love got sick? Whose fault is it that a man rammed a car into a synagogue this week? Whose fault is all of this? Who sinned? There are entire TV channels devoted to asking that question 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they are so easy to get sucked into. They feed our ego because we would never do anything like those people. They allow us to assign the blame somewhere else so we don't have to do anything. They make us feel angry and helpless. But not Jesus. Jesus is not having any of that. Jesus invites these crowds and invites us to see the world through his eyes. This man's blindness is not a curse. This encounter is an opportunity to show the world God's power in Christ Jesus and to remind us that we can all benefit from some self-reflection before we go calling other people sinners. Jesus calls himself the light of the world because he gives us the ability to see in the dark. Not physically, necessarily. I still have an astigmatism that is super annoying while I'm driving at night. But through Jesus' life, his ministry, his death and resurrection, we learn to see the world beyond our own pointing fingers. In Christ, we can look at this mess of a world and see not just allies or enemies, those who are on our side or their side, those who are with us or against us, but see instead neighbors to be loved, struggling people who need compassion and a hand, solutions to problems that require us to open not just our checkbooks, but our hearts and our tables and our minds. Like the crowds, like the disciples, like all of the people in this story, we just have to be willing to stop and look. Thanks be to God. Amen.